I'm going to read to you from the chapter of Galatians, and some who were at Toronto at the lake. how many were there with us that week?
Well,
there were 32 people all together. And the people who were at the lake, and the people who came for the further Bible study, and the people who heard me of mornings and at breakfast devotion, and in the evening, who decided to learn what I know about the devotion. Well, Martin Luther, I'm in good company. Martin Luther thought it was the most important book in the Bible. He wrote his most extensive commentary on Galatians. But this, it ends it. It's the sixth chapter and verse 17, right at the end, Paul says, from now on, from now on let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand mark of Jesus. I bear on my body the brand mark of Jesus. I know that some of you are saying, you've heard me on this before, but you haven't, not on this. You heard me on this verse, but not this preaching or what it's called. In the, in Moffat, makes this text to read this way. The owner stamp of Jesus. He says, from now on let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear the owner's stamp of Jesus. The New English Bible reads, in future let no one make trouble for me, for I bear the marks of Jesus branded on my body. You understand, Paul was living in a day when many, many people were slaves. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure I can say, but I believe that in Athens, that out of 175,000 people who lived in Athens in those days, less than 30,000 were free people, absolutely free. They're gospel. Everybody else was either a freed man who had been a slave and earned his freedom, or was still a slave. In Rome, they were so afraid, come in, and don't you be afraid. The Romans were afraid. In Rome, they were so afraid of uprising that it was illegal for any man to mark his slave by branding in a place where it could be seen. They usually used the buttock or the arm and made them covered with clothing, and they could not wear distinctive clothing, because in Rome there were less than 50,000 people who were free, and there were upwards of 200,000 people who were slaves, and they knew they could rise up like that and overthrow the government. There were slaves everywhere. Now, Paul knew this when he wrote to these people, and undoubtedly some of these people, the Galatian people, were slaves. And this is what he was thinking about when he was talking about slavery here, about being branded, because slaves were branded with a hot iron, and it was made so that nothing, the scar could never be taken away, and the owner's brand was put on him. That's what Paul said here. From now on, let no man cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the slave mark of Jesus. What he's saying is the totality of redemption. Everything about you belongs to the Lord Jesus. Everything. You have been redeemed completely. Your body belongs to the Lord Jesus. Your eyes have been redeemed. Your hands have been redeemed. Your tongue has been redeemed. Your gland has been redeemed. Every organ in your body has been redeemed. And if you trifle with any part of your body, with dope or sex, you are damaging the redemptive work of Christ in you. And you can't be the effective person you could be if you live fully to the hilt what God has redeemed you to be. God wants a fully integrated personality. He redeemed you for that purpose. And when Paul said that he was branded with the brand marks of Christ, he meant that he belonged soul and body to Jesus Christ. Dr. Harry Lane, who was a psychologist, said that he gave up Christianity because it was an outmoded superstition that after he practiced psychology for only 10 years, he was driven to Christianity, he was driven to Christ by the deep needs of people. Paul Cornelius was a man who didn't know the Lord Jesus, and he became a psychiatrist. And it was the practice of psychiatry, seeing people so broken down and nowhere to go, no hope, that turned Paul Cornelius to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's written now 61 books, and he's 65 years old, so it's better. I think it's great to see. He's like the other people keep writing. If you want to read the best that Bill McDonald ever wrote, read The Grace of God. That's the best book he ever wrote, and he's just been scribbling ever since. Dr. Frank Crane said, depression, doom, despair, pessimism. These lay 10 persons to everyone killed by typhoid, influenza, diabetes, or pneumonia. I would call it the Great Black Plague. This is Nandy, who said this with the preface from Dr. Nada. Dr. Harvey Cushing is a surgeon, and he said, don't operate on the stomach of the man with stomach ulcers, operate on his head. He said that worry and resentment is the cause of more illness. And of course, this is a specialty, But he said that worry and resentment was the cause of more illness in males than any other one thing. Dr. Taylor of Columbia, South Carolina, MD, said, I've never had a case of arthritis among Negroes and never among one white person except among those who feared or worried. Where are we to be granted? Well, Paul said, in our body, I bear in my body. Western civilization is very body conscious. Now, I want to talk to you about the branding that I think that Paul may have had in mind. The word is stigmata. We've been hearing a lot of Greek over yonder, so I'll throw out some too. concordance. Most of mine is Church Latin concordance. The first brand mark that I think anyone who's really serious about Christianity, serious about Jesus Christ, the first brand that you have branded into you deeply is forgiveness of others. If you ever have really come to Jesus Christ and have found the forgiveness of sin for yourself, the first thing you begin to realize is I need to forgive other people. And you see that in the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus went through this world, and the 33 years he was in this world, he was constantly forgiving other people. He was forgiving them. And the brand mark that you will bear in yourself, if you really belong to Christ, you will be branded with this. You'll be a person who forgives. The Lord Jesus, on the cross at that moment, cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I read where old John Seeley, for John Seeley once said, he is old too. He's as old as Malcolm Muggeridge, and that is old. The outstanding distinguishing mark of a Christian is willingness to forgive injury. This is, I thought that was nice. You know, Sir John Seeley is an atheist, but he knows what Christianity is. He's an educated man. He may be a fool, but he's educated enough that he knows what Christianity is, and he says the outstanding distinguishing mark of a Christian is his willingness to forgive. Do you harbor grudges of teachers who give difficult tests? Or do you harbor your grudge as a parent who is very, very strict? Or do you harbor grudges? Well, forgiveness is the mind of a Christian. Someone said about a person whom I know, the person's name was Ralph, they said, no one can hold a grudge anymore when Ralph comes into the room, and that's true of that man. He found forgiveness in Christ, and he's such a forgiving person that people can be all up tent, and that guy can come into the room, and they're forgiven. That's the kind of person you and I should be. There was a lady missionary in Japan, and she stood on a safety island And a taxi cab came past her, and her the wind was blowing, and her foot caught in that taxi cab in the door handle of the taxi cab, and it drugged her for a distance before the man was able to stop the cab. And he rushed her to the hospital, the cab driver, and stayed with her. And this lady, all the time she was dying, and she finally died, this lady was begging the authorities, "Don't take his license away. It was an accident," she said. "Don't take his license away. Don't prosecute him." She called for his employer and said, "Please do not prosecute this man. It was a mistake. He didn't do this on purpose." And she got the insurance people before she died and got them to promise not to take away his license for him to drive the taxi cab. And she died, and at his funeral, this man became, the taxi cab driver became a Christian. But you know, I believe I know Christians, and maybe some of you are here, who say, "I'll get the last dollar I can from the insurance company. I was hurt. Boy, I'm getting my money. I'm getting my blood." That's not Christianity. It may be good American, the good American system. It's anti-Christ. Don't you forget. If you draw the last ounce of blood, you're just a shyster saying you're a Christian. But a Christian is branded with forgiveness. Then, that's only point one. But there's going to be refreshment. It will be refreshment, I guess. I'm going to get you ready for refreshment. You'll need refreshment. Point two. That I think the second thing you see about the Lord Jesus that's so different about American Christians is he didn't have self-pity. But I dealt with Christians for 37 years, and let me tell you, they're some of the biggest belly achers on earth that God has saved. But they're not branded with this. The Lord Jesus never pitied himself. He never went about belly aching and asking everybody else to belly ache with him. He didn't do it. And a Christian who is branded with the likeness of Christ will not be a person seeking self-pity. When the daughters of Jerusalem wept over him, the Lord Jesus said, "Weep not for me. Weep for yourselves." And if there was ever anyone who should have had the weeping of others and who deserved to have the weeping of others, it was at that hour. He could have said, "You rightly can weep for me," but he didn't. He said, "Weep not for me. Weep for yourselves." And I think we need to be branded with this, no pity, no self-pity. In the genealogy of the Lord Jesus, you know, there's a very poignant word or two that says, "David was the father of Solomon by Uriah's wife." That's in the genealogy of Christ. There was a bastard there, you know, in Christ's background, in his genealogy. And it's unashamedly, unabashedly written in the gospel. And nearly everybody has something in your background that you wish wasn't there. You know, your great grandfather was hung on the tree in back of the courthouse for stealing horses. Well, that's my great grandfather. Well, I don't know your great grandfather. I have some relatives who were bootleggers to the coast. And maybe all yours were angels, I don't know. Maybe you have the great misfortune of coming from all Bible scholars all the way. I pity you. It's a shame. But you need to know what life is about. But you know, the Lord Jesus never spent a moment worrying about what was behind him. There was no self-pity. Self-pity is all looking backwards. The Lord Jesus always stepped forward for his power. The third thing he had was joy in spite of that is a complete sentence, I think. I'm not a grammarian, but that is a complete sentence. Well, it's a nice phrase. And so, it's joy in spite of. Most of us, you know, we have joy part of the time when everything goes right. Sure, I told you, I wouldn't tell a story you've ever heard before, but I can't resist it. Sir Lord William Cecil once said, "I'm a very good, easy, good man. I'm a very nice man to get along with, so long as I have my own way and everyone does what I say for them to do. But when anyone crosses me, I'm just as difficult as the rest of you." He said that in a parable. I think that's very clever. He was a very we're on the third point. You'll never know what those other two points are. It'll keep you awake at night. I mean, I can see you just lying there on your bed saying, I just sleep if I just knew what the first, but he didn't ever tell us. You'll turn, they don't worry. All right, yeah. I'll mail it to you. But joy in spite of, anyone can have joy on account of, but Christ has joy in spite of. We had a Christian who stood up in prison, and he'd been a Christian just a year in jail, and there's no place much worse than in a penitentiary to be a Christian. And this guy's testimony. Well, there's nobody else out there. This guy stood up and gave testimony. You know, one time I spoke at the University of Kansas, and they had a hall that was every bit as long as this building.
Jim.
Jim, thank you. And there was a hall about as wide as from that black mark over to the wall. And believe me, everybody who came to that IT meeting came late that night, and they all had ideas. And then after I started speaking, there were 22 people who came in late. We're not so bad. We've only got a dozen. So anyone can be joyful because of or on account of, but only a person who's really in Christ and branded with the brand mark of Christ can be joyful in spite of. Well, I started to tell you, this fellow's testimony in prison, he said, finding and following Christ, I have found three things. One, you're delivered from all fear, and in prison, that's pretty important. Two, you are absurdly unhappy. And three, he said, you still will have trouble. I thought he had learned quite a bit in 3 years. That's three things that a Christian needs to learn. You can be absurdly happy, but there's still trouble. I was told of a lady who got saved. This lady lives in Hutchinson, and the people she worked with told her it's indeed for anyone to be attracted to her after she became a Christian. Joy and fun. And the fourth branding is calm receptivity. You know, the Lord Jesus was really a balanced personality. And I think this should be a brand on it. Calm receptivity. There were people one time who were shouting, let's make him a king! Yay! Hallelujah! And all that. And he was just as calm as a cucumber. It didn't disturb him. He knew what was in the heart of man. And all the people shouting Hosanna in the highest, he knew how shallow that was. He listened to it, but it didn't change anything. Calm receptivity. And then there was a day when they were shouting in his face, crucify him! Crucify him! Have this man hung! And he stood there calmly, and even Pontius Pilate said, don't you answer me? Aren't you afraid? Do you know the authority? I know he didn't have much authority. He was under the king of Syria. Imagine a Roman under the king of Syria. He was procurator, and he had very little authority. And he said, don't you recognize the authority I have? I'm somebody. And he said, get out my badge for you. Hey, look at me. I'm talking to you. And the Lord Jesus didn't even bother to answer. Calm receptivity. This should be a branding of the Lord Jesus. He was consistent. An organism can give out as much energy as it takes in, but no more. Christ knew how to give out because he knew how to take in. You and I need to be learning people, and the moment you think that you have reached a point where you are no longer learning, you stop growing as a Christian, and you won't amount to a hill of beans for God. No matter how long you've known God, knowing the Lord Jesus, you have to continue growing in the things of God to amount to anything for God. There's a constant growing process. A tree, as long as it lives, grows. A Christian, as long as they're doing anything worthwhile, is growing. People always wanted to give to me. Remember the lady who was criticized by one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who broke an alabaster. I have it mixed up. She washed his feet with water and dried his feet with her hair. And, you know, and she anointed his feet with oil. And this disciple said, well, why wasn't this money spent better? I can think of a lot of better ways of spending the money than that. You know, because he wanted to spend the money. The people who spend the money, usually can think of better ways of spending it than you can, especially if you get to somebody who's real poor and doesn't go to church. It's a much better way of spending. We need this copper steeple with a cross on top and a bell hanging up there. And we could have used that money for that instead of going to the unbeliever's cell. But you and I are just channels for all the mercy and grace of God to flow through us freely to other people. We're to be branded people. And then there was courage. The Lord Jesus is one of the most courageous persons. I think that a lot of harm has been done by these effeminate pictures of the Lord Jesus. And I'm not attacking. I like Solomon head of Christ and Hoffman's head of Christ and anybody else. I saw one down in Edmond, Oklahoma, some college kid drawing an overall. And he was, and the name of it was Follow Me. And he looked to be about 20 years old, and he had kind of, you couldn't tell whether he was plumbing or not, but anyway. And they told me it was art, and I don't know whether it is or not, but anyway, if people have different ideas of the Lord Jesus. But one thing, they always wanted to give to him, and he was always a channel of the grace of God to others. Mozart once said he could never find out how it was that music came to him, whether it was riding or eating a good meal sometimes with his belly full, or when he was sleeping, sometimes he woke up with a dream in the night and had music. He just was so saturated with music that it became an inspiration to him, and he wrote to him in this way. That's why he wrote so much and so frequently at such unusual hours. And I thought, well, this is the way it should be with the Christian. The grace of God should be flowing through you. You don't know how or why, but reaching others for Christ is just you being you and letting God work through you. Don't ever get a pious attitude like, I am a Christian, you know, I am a Christian over here, right here. People want to choose. They don't, because they're too polite, you know. But they mark it down. They say, him over there, don't ever get near him again. And then if you're the typical type, you say, I gave my testimony, and they turn me out. Persecution for Christ. And you just think, thank you. It's just your nasty attitude. Courage. The Lord Jesus had wonderful courage. And he faced desperate people who wanted to kill him so badly, and sometimes he wanted to excuse so beautifully. You can remember times when he said, I'll just ask you one question. They said, tell us by what authority you do these things. I would like to ask you gentlemen a question. They said, fair enough, we'll answer yours. He said, by what authority did John Baptist was that baptism of man or sort of God? He said, boys, let's get in a huddle. Now, if we answer this guy and say it's from God, he'll say, why didn't you get baptized? And then what will we say? And if we say that it's purely a man, there's all the people following him, and we'll be in hot water. What shall we do? Some bright guy, probably with a master's degree in psychology, said, look, it's the perfect guy. He'll say, you don't know. They went back to Christ and said, we're very, very sorry to report, sir, but after due research, we have come up with the answer that we don't know. He said, very good. I'm not telling you then, but I want to talk to you. One mark on the wall for the Lord Jesus. He had courage. He faced people who didn't like him, and he didn't go all the pieces. He didn't have to start over. He didn't have to use pot to face He didn't have to use pot to go to a pot party, or whatever you call it, smoking a joint, to face life. He didn't have to use dope to face life. He didn't have to have a can of beer to face life. He faced life as it was, because he was a person with courage. And a real Christian is branded with that kind of life, the courage of the Lord Jesus. I've only got three more. I'll do them quick, because I can see that thirst is overcoming, and you've got to get out of here by when?
10:30.
But 10:29. No, I'm trying to get their attention.
You got it.
The fifth thing that I think you can see as a landmark of Christ is he had the power to take it. He could take it. He wasn't a slob sister. He wasn't one of these effeminate soft people. I think that man or woman, you should be able really to take it if you're a Christian. You should stand up and be counted, you know. There's so many people, and they're real Christians, I think, and they're hiding in the woodwork somewhere, and they're waiting for everything to be just right. Remember what Mr. Talkley, I think it was, on Pilgrim's Progress said, I'm always a Christian when there's a sunny side, I walk on the sunny side of the street in silver slippers when profession is easy, was Mr. Talkley, he said that. Or else it's false. Or else it was Mr. Vine. It was, oh, okay, I got it. It was Mr. Vine. It was Mr. Vine. Okay? A judge said, there is an increase in the use of drugs, narcotics, and opiates because people can't stand frustration. The people that come before me have no religion, so they turn to crop of I've got to read it if you said it, but aspirin, well, I do use aspirin occasionally. Anyway, the judge was against us using aspirin. I want to read it. They flow. They can't taste life, so they turn to talks of aspirin, drugs, liquor. Wow! They can't take it. That puts it down pretty much. So never again are you to whine and complain and bellow and retreat. Take everything that comes to you for the glory of God. Seventh, he cares, and you'll be branded that way if you're a real Christian. If you're branded like Paul talked about, you'll care about people. You know, I'm a preacher who just hates people. I know a preacher, and he's got a thing that you pull behind a car, a trailer. My vocabulary is very limited. I listened to him in Texas, and it's a call of Texas. There are hundreds of Texans here, aren't there? Very good. It's the call I went to school in Texas. And he had a trailer park that cannot, and he goes out there nearly every day to get away from people. And let me tell you something that he doesn't know, and I talked to him once about it, but it didn't have any effect. The church is a people thing, and Christians must be people-oriented. And if you're hiding somewhere under the rug, you're probably not really a Christian, because Christ was surrounded by people. The disciples were surrounded by people. They invited people. And if you're trying to get away from people, there's something probably wrong here as well as here. There's something wrong with you. I heard that,
said John. He did that. Was that you, Gary Lynn said? It wasn't.
Did you keep your mouth shut, really? Oh. You yawn in front.
Very good.
So we have to be sensitized to people's needs. I never was so brought up short as I was recently when a young man in anger said to me, I went to apologize for something that I thought I was right about, but I thought he had misunderstood me, but he hadn't. And he said, in his anger, he said to me, Richard, you are the most insensitive person I've ever known in all my life.
He took it back the next day. But for 24 hours, I kept saying that over. I'm the most insensitive person he's ever known in his life.
Wow, it really cut me down, because I try to, you know,
I can see they're asleep right now, most of them. I'm sensitive about this. I know where you are. You're bottom of the floor, and you're thirsty, and you wish I'd quit. I know where you are. But we need to be in touch with people. If you're ever going to help anyone, you have to care enough about what they're speaking and saying to listen.
Have you ever talked to somebody and they were waiting for a semicolon? They don't even want periods. They wait for a semicolon, and then they meet him with what they've been thinking all the time. They weren't hearing you at all. Have you ever talked to somebody? Or maybe you're that person. And you never wait for anyone to get through saying what they're saying, and you're ready with the repartee, defense, or whatever it is, the comeback. Well, the Lord Jesus wasn't that way. He cared. He listened. Did you know that Confucius taught a great deal more than Jesus Christ? Have you ever read the thing Confucius said? The book of Confucius. Confucius saying. The sayings of Confucius. My goodness, it's a gigantic thing. It's much bigger than the gospel. Confucius said a lot more. He never listened to anybody. Everybody, he was just yak, 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 yak. And so they all wrote it down. But did you ever notice? Did you ever notice the Lord Jesus? He always listened, and usually when someone asked him something, he answered with a question. Have you ever noticed that? About 9 times out of 10, he answered with the question. And someone would say, what thus and so on, and so he would say, well, what about this? That really meant he was listening in code, trying to find out what he was about. And my dears, don't lie out loud, but this is the last thing I'm going to tell you. He gave himself. He gave himself. All of them. And a real Christian will be branded that way. There's no such thing. Listen, let me tell you. This world is filled with crackpots and halfway Christians and would-be Christians and all that sort of thing. But there isn't such a thing as God. The disciples were people who went all out for God. All out for God. He gave himself. The Lord Jesus gave himself completely for you. And you're to be branded that way. Branded. You can never again do what you want to do. If you belong to him, you're branded. You have to do what he wants you to do. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to him. Even when you drink the pot, you can do that for him. When you brush your teeth, you can do that for him. When some of you make failing grace, you can do that for him. You belong to him. You're branded. That's, I think, what Paul meant. He said, from now on, don't let anyone worry me, because I bear in my body the brand of life of the Lord Jesus. Father, you're so ignorant and helpless and little. We think so small. Forgive. Forgive. Make us the men and women of God who should be praised in the name of Christ.